The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Good Wednesday, halfway through the week, Brad Sesmatt, Sports 360 AZ. We're Arizona-centric. Kurt Warner going to join us in about 15 minutes. Michael Fabiano, NFL Network Hall of Famer, fantasy football as we do every week on Wednesdays with Michael Fabiano. Looking forward to Kurt Warner, though, here shortly from the NFL Network. He has his ultimate fan experience. It's coming up in March. Want to ask him if the Cardinals are able to now not have to draft a quarterback in April because of the way Carson Palmer has played. Has Kurt Warner seen enough from Carson Palmer that he can say definitively they don't have to draft a quarterback? Really looking forward to talking to Kurt Warner about that. Also, is Tyrann Mathieu the NFC Defensive Rookie of the Year? We'll talk with Kurt Warner in a few minutes on that front. Last night, I saw most of the Suns-Lakers game in the second half. I went and saw a movie that I'll talk about with Goody at the Movies about on Friday. I can't really get into it, so I'll just say that it was really good. I'll leave it at that. That's not much of a tease. It's pretty lame on my part, but I've got something there I'm going to get to maybe a little bit later in the show. I'm thinking in my head I'm going to get yelled at by some movie studio people if I go down that path too far. So I did that. Eric Sorensen, of course, our senior executive vice president of everything or nothing, depending on the day. He is on board. Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board, don't screw up. And we start out with Eric and our Facebook question of the day. Today's Facebook question is...
What's the sound for crickets?
You don't have one, huh? So here's the thing. Eric comes up with these, and so you don't have one. Is it because you're not too busy because you've done nothing this morning?
I was on a little bit of a time crunch, and the Facebook question, as much as I love it, it's usually towards the bottom of my priority list behind show audio, guests, getting the show set up. And today, you know, I just ran out of time.
Okay, so let me think about this. I'll help you out.
Okay.
I can do this on the fly. So we had the Suns beating the Lakers last night. Was it really that big of a deal? Because the Lakers blow. They're not any good.
Not at all.
They're not good. So is it really that big of a deal? There's that. The Trumbo trade that the Diamondbacks pulled off. For the most part, I'm getting a 50-50 on that one. 50% don't like the deal. 50% do. I don't know. So something L.A. there. If you had like... the bigger rivalry being Suns-Lakers or Diamondbacks-Dodgers. Is that kind of lame or is that...
No, I like that.
Is there something there?
I like that because you're going to get the old school Suns fans who just can't let it go. The Lakers could be the worst team in the league and the Suns could only win 4 games all year, but as long as it was against the Lakers, those 4 wins would be like the best 4 wins in the last quarter century.
Right. No, I get that.
Because the Lakers always have the last laugh with the Suns. Yes, the Suns have beaten the Lakers in the playoffs, but how many times have the Lakers kept the Suns from getting to the pinnacle?
Right.
An NBA title.
Right.
So far, zilch.
Well, I like that question. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Bigger rivalry, because right now you have these Diamondback fans that are all worked up over Yasiel Puig and the
pool
Dodgers.
Gate, all
the
that
pool
good stuff. And
so I think that would probably be a little bit biased. It's over on Facebook. You're going to put that up? Facebook.com, like next 10 minutes or so.
Yep, Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. It will be up shortly.
Kurt Warner here in about 10 minutes. Michael Fabiano at the bottom of the hour. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Busy Wednesday, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, you pull down the slot and you have big winnings. And of course, it's just outside of Pine Top, the Honda Resort and Casino with New Year's Eve, the place to be New Year's Eve. Have you made your New Year's Eve plans yet? I hope you're not saying, hey, honey, let's sit around and watch the ball drop with Dick Clark. He's not around anymore. That's over with. Hey, honey, let's sit around and watch Ryan Seacrest. Are you kidding me? What are you, nuts? You need to go to the Honda Resort and Casino. Great food, great entertainment, great fun. You can go snowboarding, sledding, skiing at the Sunrise Ski Resort. Stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. What a great New Year's, right? That's at the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. So I want to start with the trade, and then I'll get over the Suns-Lakers in a minute. And I think the Mac Brown story is really, really interesting. Down at Texas. But the Trumbo trade, so the Diamondbacks yesterday, we talked at great lengths, had Pedro Gomez on down at the winter baseball meetings, and they do make the deal to get Mark Trumbo. Mark Trumbo, a guy that will bring them a lot of power, and I think he could also bring them a lot of strikeouts. Mark Trumbo hit just 234 last season, 34 home runs. I don't love this deal. I don't love this deal. It's not the fact that they traded Tyler Skaggs away. You know, to me, the Diamondbacks put Tyler Skaggs on the, I used to refer to it as the I-10 Express when their AAA team was in Tucson. They would just send guys back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Tyler Skaggs was on the, I don't know if it's Southwest or whatever, private jet. I don't know what they did to get players back and forth from Reno. But all he did was go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's the second consecutive year where the Diamondbacks have traded away a top prospect that supposedly was going to be at the front end of the rotation for years to come. At first, it was Trevor Bauer a year ago, and now it's Tyler Skaggs. So if you're not skeptical at all on this, then I think you're not really being that objective. You're being a fan, which is fine. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. Trumbo, there's no question, give him a big bat. His best position is first base. Here is Mark Trumbo on leaving the Angels organization and coming to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
It's something I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. But that being said, it's time to turn my attention to a brand new team that's made a huge commitment to bring me over. Obviously, they think fairly highly of me, and I'm excited to get after it for them.
It's Mark Trumbo. Here's Kevin Towers, general manager of the Diamondbacks, about moving Trumbo from first base. I already have a guy named Goldschmidt who's really good there, moving Trumbo to left field.
Some of our scouts gave him a seven arm from the outfield. Transitioning to the outfield, our place will be difficult and tough. I would say that his playing time at first base will be somewhat limited. Goldie's the type of guy that likes to be out there probably 155 games plus, but he's a good athlete, and as we saw with Goldschmidt, was a guy that was probably a below-average defender, turned himself into an above-average defender, and from everything that I've gotten from Jerry and our scouts and people that know this kid well, the work ethic will be there.
That's Kevin Towers. Kurt Warner joins me in about 5 minutes, all things around the NFL with Kurt Warner. Back on Trumbo, Pedro Gomez joined me on yesterday's show from the winter meetings just as this deal was being completed, and I asked him, what are the Diamondbacks getting in Trumbo in left field?
His best position is first base. And when you have the best first baseman in the National League, you're not going to move Paul Goldschmidt away from that spot, especially the type of Gold Glove caliber first baseman that Goldschmidt is. So, you're right. There are people in the industry that say, Trumbo is not extremely, he's not overly athletic. He's not somebody that you can put almost anywhere. The Angels tried to put him at third base. That failed. They do put him in the outfield from time to time. And he's not an above-average outfielder. That's not why he's in the lineup, though. He's in the lineup to hit the long ball. But the problem has been that his on-base percentage has gone down. It hasn't gone up. And it is an all-or-nothing type of swing. And that certainly could become an issue because the names you mentioned, guys like Richie Sexton and Mark Reynolds, those are kind of comparable type players to what Trumbo has shown so far.
I don't hate this deal. Don't misunderstand me here. I don't hate what the Diamondbacks did yesterday. It's just this is one of those deals that I don't have a definitive answer of this is the right move for them to make. They were very excited when they brought Jason Kubel here. That didn't work out. They were very excited when they brought Richie Sexton here. That didn't work out. They were very excited when they had Mark Reynolds here. That didn't work out. Big guys, lots of strikeouts, not able to get things done. It's on Trumbo to turn himself into a 280 hitter. Give me 280. Don't give me the 30% on-base percentage because that's where he's been. It's got to be better than that. The Suns last night, the Suns are the biggest story in the NBA. You're saying, no, they're not. LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are. If you were to be objective and talk about who was picked by not just me, but everybody, to be awful, I'm wrong. It happens. The Suns are 12-9. 12-9. And they beat Portland twice. It's not like they've played a whole bunch of stiffs out there. And last night, they go out to L.A., and Goran Dragic just went crazy last night.
101-95. Bounce pass into Gasol. Gasol backing in Markieff Morris. Left-handed block by Morris. Here comes Bledsoe on a runout. Dragic to the hoop. Lay it up and in.
That's John Ireland, who was with us on yesterday's show, Voice of the Lakers. Dragic with 31. Ties his season high. Goran Dragic as an all-star. I can't seem to let that roll off my tongue, but I have to be open-minded to it because he's played at a level that you would have to consider it. I would have never thought that at the start of the year. Kobe Bryant had just 20. It's the first win in L.A. since 2010, where the Suns had lost five in a row. But the bottom line is the Lakers aren't good. The Suns are doing what they're supposed to do. Forget about this whole thing of having worst record. Forget about this whole thing. They're 21 games into the season, and they already have 12 wins.
Everybody's happy now. Let me know in June when the Suns either barely miss the playoffs or get bounced in the first round, well, and then everyone's going to look back and be like, oh, why are we not getting one of these top picks? Everyone's happy now. Let me know in the summer.
Well, it's not that I'm not happy. It's that the whole notion of them getting one of these superstar kids who's going to come out in the top four picks in the draft, as we're sitting here in early or mid-December almost.
Very unlikely.
But my vision of Dragic and Bledsoe not being able to coexist and Dragic being a sixth man and having Archie Goodwin develop to this point hasn't happened. It has not happened. Here is Jeff Hornacek after the Suns win last night in Los Angeles.
The big key was trying to run them off threes. We did a good job of that. Rebounding was good. We out-rebounded them, so that was a positive for us. And then when you're playing anywhere on the road and teams make runs at you, it got down to, I think, 2 points. But guys made big shots. Marcus Morris made some big ones for us.
Mike D'Antoni after last night's game, the losing coach for the Lakers.
It's trying to figure out the best combinations and trying to get through the period where guys are adjusting to each other. And, you know, they let the air out of our balloon a little bit. And I think it's a little understandable and it's regrettable. But it won't keep us from moving forward and figuring it out and getting the right group in there and getting Kobe back with his legs.
So the Suns get the win there. They play Sacramento. That will be on Friday night. Coyotes win last night in Colorado. And the big story nationally in college football, Mack Brown expected to resign at Texas, although he says, I'm not resigning at Texas. Good luck with that. He was in New York with Steve Patterson, the former ASU athletic director, yesterday. Could Todd Graham, ASU coach, be on the radar screen? I would tend to doubt it as it stands right now. Next, Kurt Warner joins us. All things NFL with the Cardinal legendary quarterback, NFL Network analyst, Michael Fabiano, his co-worker, who does all the fantasy football. Now, I hear Kurt and Michael have a little back and forth going, so I have to ask Kurt about that. But does he think Carson Palmer has enough tread on the tire that the Cardinals do not need to draft a quarterback this coming offseason? I'll ask Kurt about that and much more next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Coming up in about 15 minutes, it is fantasy football as we do every week. NFL Network's Michael Fabiano finishing up year number two, NFL Network, NFL.com. Now, with the NFL Network, it is Kurt Warner for a couple of minutes. The Kurt Warner First Things First Foundation, that is coming up with his ultimate football experience in March. This is one of those events that every year we have Kurt on to talk about it. We're doing it a little earlier this year because plan ahead, guys. This is right around the corner. Kurt will have the details on that in a minute. I'm curious, though, off the top, do you beat on Fabiano like a drum when it comes to fantasy football? Because I'm gonna have him on here in 15 minutes. Are you better than him at fantasy football, Kurt?
I'm not going to go that far and say that I'm better, but I have picked a lot of winners before he has in regards to certain players that are going to break out and certain players that are going to have big games. So I have given him a lot of inside information that has really worked out. He's probably taking ownership of it himself, even though it really came from me. But as far as actually playing in the competition and playing in the league, probably not, just because I don't pay that much attention to it. I'm more worried about getting things right for our Sunday show and making sure I know what I'm seeing. But it is kind of amazing how when you actually know what's going on the football field and watching tape, and the things like I do, a lot of that does end up pertaining to who's going to have success in fantasy football. So sometimes it's not just a crapshoot or looking at the stats. It's more about seeing what's going on the football field.
Now, he has told me in the past that when he's wrong, you usually text him the name of the player that he was wrong about. Just the name. Not, hey, you were wrong. It's just Pitta or Fitzgerald or whomever it may be.
Yes, because there's times where I'll look to my fantasy guru when I'm debating on two guys or who I should play or maybe somebody I should pick up to see what he thinks. And then if I end up going with his recommendation and the other guy breaks out, or the guy that I said, I'm really kind of thinking this guy, I'll just throw the name out at him and let him know that I'm paying attention and that he was wrong in that situation. But he's definitely helped me out as well at different times. So I'm not gonna talk all bad about him. He has helped me out.
I know. It's the ultimate football experience raffle contest. That will provide you the unique opportunity for one Gridiron fan to get off the couch, get into action. That's on March 7th and 8th. But the deadline for getting some tickets is through the First Things First Foundation is Friday, December 20th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you have to start moving on this. Tell us about this year's event and what you have coming up in March, Kurt.
Well, it's, as you know, you've been there, Brad, but it's the ultimate fan experience where we invite in past and present NFL greats. I mean, some of the guys that have been there, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Steve Young, Joe Flacco, Philip Rivers. I mean, you know, it's kind of a who's who of who's played and playing now in the NFL. A lot of quarterbacks, but also guys like Fitz and Anquan Boldin, and some of those guys have come in as well. So we invite them in to be the all-time quarterback for different corporate teams. And then we have a draft party on Friday night where all the participants have to compete in some different events to set up a draft order. They get a chance to draft the player or quarterback that they want. Then all day Saturday, we just have a competitive flag football tournament, a chance to kind of rub elbows with the pros, get to know them a little bit, compete with and against them. But really a once-in-a-lifetime experience, something that you really can't get anywhere else. And it's fun. So we're auctioning off, or we're raffling off a spot for someone to come out and join us and be a part of that event. They'll also get to bring a guest to kind of watch the festivities with them. So the raffle, you can just go to kurtwarner.org, which is my foundation website, and figure out how to buy raffle tickets. They're only $2 a piece for an amazing opportunity, airfare, hotel accommodations, plus the event. So it's really a great deal for a small price. All the proceeds go to my foundation, the Kurt Warner First Things First Foundation, as we continue to try to impact people's lives. So I'm just hoping everybody who listens goes and grabs some raffle tickets. Worst case scenario, your $10, $20, $100 goes to benefit our foundation. Best case scenario, you win a spot to come out and play with the pros.
KurtWarner.org, KurtWarner.org for all the information. Let me ask you a couple of football-related things. It came out today that the International Olympic Committee is looking to add American football to the Olympics.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious on your end, this would be like the dream team back in the day in basketball because other countries just haven't gotten up to speed in the NFL game yet. I know you've done work overseas in developing leagues, but do you really see the Olympics and football, NFL football, working immediately, or would this be 100-0 every game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be hard. You know, just because of the knowledge of the game and what our country would bring to the table. I've always thought it was one of those things, too, that, you know, growing up, you know, always dreamed of winning an Olympic medal. And obviously my sport being football, never got that opportunity. But I always thought it would be hard, too, because in the course of a, you know, two-week Olympics, it's tough to play very many games.
Right.
You know, because it's such a the physical nature of the game, you really can't get very many teams involved because you just can't play back-to-back and you can't play because it's such a physical game. So I always thought that was kind of the one thing that held it back, too, was it you know, you couldn't just line up and play again the next day, you know, the winners from the day before. So I think it's a little far-fetched right now from both standpoints. You'd have to have all your qualifying rounds and everything, and you'd only really get to see the games, you know, a couple games throughout the Olympics. So I think those two things make it really, really tough. You know, but again, being that it's my sport and being that it's such a great game, I would love to see it exposed internationally through the Olympics. I just not sure how that could be done.
Yeah. Who are your Super Bowl teams right now?
I got to say Denver and Seattle. I picked them early on. Just feel like they have the most complete teams. You know, Denver just so explosive offensively that you're going to have to outscore them. You know, you're going to have to score 30-plus points. And when I look at the AFC side of it, I'm just not sure there's a combination of teams that can score 30 and stop Denver from scoring 30. And so you have to say they're the front runner, especially with Gronk getting injured. You thought maybe New England in the cold could maybe muster up those points. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it now without that big play guy in Gronk. And then on the NFC side, I think it's a lot more interesting because I think you have a lot more quality teams, teams that match up a little bit better that could beat each other. But, I mean, with Seattle having home field advantage and the fact that they haven't lost at home in 2 years and Russell Wilson hasn't lost at home and all the ways they can beat you, you know, physically, offensively, and defensively, you know, Russell Wilson making his plays, you just have to think that they're the front runners, but you do like that side of it because, you know, a San Francisco team that just beat them, even though it wasn't at their home, they're physical, and they have the ability to slow them down and could win that game. Even a Carolina team that has kind of the X factor at quarterback up in the cold, they may not score a lot of points, but they've got a defense that can physically play with a team like Seattle, which could make that interesting too. So, you know, so I like the NFC side of it, but I still think Seattle is the most complete team right now.
KurtWarner.org, KurtWarner.org, Ultimate Football Experience. You can get all the information there at KurtWarner.org. Before I let you go, two questions on the Cardinals briefly. Tyrann Mathieu, done for the season. NFC Defensive Rookie of the Year for Tyrann Mathieu?
I definitely think he's in the running. I think he's done a tremendous job and, you know, made a lot of plays, been very versatile for him. You know, they moved him around to do a lot of different things with him. I really like what he's done. I think he's going to get serious consideration there. You know, and I'd like to see it, you know, with a lot of the people having the questions coming out of college, and I think Arizona kind of, you know, reaching and taking a chance with him. I think he's responded extremely well and played extremely well. It was just too bad on that kind of weird fluke play that, yep, that he tears his ACL last week. But I just think he's done a tremendous job for him and deserves strong consideration.
Last question. Early in the year, there was a lot of conversation about Carson Palmer and that the Cardinals would have to draft a quarterback next April because he just wasn't effective. And was there any tread left on the tire, gas left in the tank, whatever term you want to use? Based on what you've seen, do you believe that Carson Palmer should be the guy in 2014 and that the Cardinals have their quarterback issue behind them for now?
Well, I think it just really depends on where you want to go. I think he affords you, because of the way he's played down the stretch, he affords you the opportunity to go, if there's a guy there that we really like, that we want to develop, that we think can be our franchise guy, you could go that route if you wanted to, knowing you have Carson that can play a year or two if he continues to play at this level. But it also affords you, hey, depending on where we end up in the draft, if there's not one of those guys there, we feel very confident that we can get another 1, 2, 3 strong years out of Carson Palmer, and we can wait until we are in a position to get that guy for the future. You know, and the biggest thing is it was so hard to tell early on because, of course, in changing system, you know, new guys kind of fitting into new roles as far as, you know, from the receiver standpoint. And now as those guys have started to come along, Carson's also started to come along. He's been able to get the ball out quicker. He knows what he wants to do with the football. You know, and those guys are making plays for him on top of that. So I think it was a lot of things going on early on as guys were thinking and trying to figure this system out. And it seems like now they've got a good feel for what they're doing. Maybe Coach Arians has a better feel for what they do well. And they're, you know, really starting to mesh offensively. And so you have to like what you've seen, and you have to believe that, you know, as they continue to work together, that there's at least a couple more years with Carson Palmer at quarterback where you say, hey, we can be successful, and we can just buy our time and wait for that right guy that we believe can be, you know, the future of the franchise.
As always, appreciate your time. Merry Christmas to you, Brenda, and your family. Stay well. KurtWarner.org. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
KurtWarner.org, Ultimate Football Experience raffle contest going through the 20th. Go to his website. That's KurtWarner.org. For more information, NFL Network's Kurt Warner with Brad Susmat here on Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, as mentioned, Michael Fabiano, the fantasy football time that we do every week with the NFL Network and NFL.com. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. We don't mess around here. We're not putting on some beat guy and some little web dude who's going to break down a couple of guys. No, we have the guy from the NFL Network. And that's next. I'm Brad Susmat, Sports360AZ.com.
Give giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sesmat.
Time to talk fantasy football. Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network's very own. We just had Kurt Warner on. So who's better at fantasy football? Do you bust his chops, Michael? I'm just curious.
No, it's the other way around. He does it to me. If we're together on a Sunday morning and he wants to know which player he should start over another, if I give him the wrong answer, even though it's always matchup-based, he will text me at the end of the night, and he'll just text me that player's name. And I'll be like, come on, Kurt, it was a good matchup. He's into fantasy big time, though, and I love when I see former fantasy superstars actually enjoying fantasy, and he plays with his kids and his wife. It's a great situation there with Kurt and his family.
Is it one of those deals where you know the text is coming? As the day progresses, Michael, do you know that the text is going to come from Kurt, where you're just going, oh, my gosh, he's going to crush me?
Well, sometimes, you know, it's a good thing. He'll text me and bust chops a little bit, but most of the time, I'm giving him the right advice. And when I do give him the right advice, I don't hear from him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, damned if I do, damned if I don't. But Kurt and I have a lot of fun. And again, it's just it's a blast to see Kurt into fantasy, because if you ever ask him about what his feelings about fantasy were initially, he was not a fantasy guy. He didn't like the fact that it was all based on stats, and he didn't like the fact that these garbage time points are so relevant in fantasy. He still doesn't like that. But Kurt and Warren Sapp and even LaDainian Tomlinson now, big time into fantasy, and it puts a smile on my face. I love it.
Rob asks, Alex Smith, Matt Stafford this week.
I'm going with Matthew Stafford. Alex Smith coming off of a mediocre game. He had been very good in five of his previous six, but Stafford's a guy that I'm playing. And it's a Monday night game, too, there against the Baltimore Ravens. I like the fact that I have my quarterback going on Monday night.
Andy, will Lacy play? And if limited, would you rather play Monte Ball?
If Lacy plays for the Packers, he plays for you. I mean, the Cowboys' defense is just awful. If anybody saw that game on Monday night, you know how bad that defense is, especially against the run. So the smart thing to do here is, if you don't have backfield depth, pick up James Starks, just in case. Because if Lacy becomes inactive over the weekend, you can play James Starks. He's not going to be an RB1 like Lacy is, but I can tell you something right now. He will be an RB2. Heck, you and I could get behind that offensive line if you're playing the Dallas Cowboys, and probably run for 100 yards, Brad. I mean, that's how bad they are right now. It's embarrassing.
And you're a Cowboy guy.
I don't like to admit it these days, but I am a Cowboys guy. I'm a very unbiased Cowboys fan, so it was a rough night to watch that team do what it did or didn't do on Monday night. It was a tough one.
So I'll get to other questions in a minute. Let's talk about playoff strategy now, because every league's in the playoffs in a postseason. As you're going through rosters and matchups, and you're looking here at the coming to the end of the season, who are some players that you look at, Michael, off the top of your head that you say, you know what, if you have this person the next 3 weeks, you are golden. You are in such great shape. Or players on this team because of the matchups. Obviously, if you have running backs and you're facing the Cowboys, you're in great shape. Give me a few names along those lines if you've got it.
Well, first of all, I don't want to talk about the big names because everyone knows the big names.
Sure, sure.
But Nick Foles is a guy who, how good has he been? He is right up there with the Drew Breeses and Peyton Mannings of the world over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And the matchup this week couldn't be better against the Minnesota Vikings. So Nick Foles becomes a guy who wasn't drafted in most leagues because Michael Vick was going to be the guy drafted for the Eagles quarterback position, but now he's right up there in the conversation with the five or ten best quarterbacks in fantasy football. So that's a player that I like. Phillip Rivers has got some good matchups. Now, Tony Romo's got a good matchup this week, but Romo hasn't really been able to exploit those matchups. You mentioned Eddie Lacy. If he plays this week, very good matchup, again, against the Dallas Cowboys. There are some other players out there, too. And you want to talk about a lesser-named quarterback. What about Ryan Tannehill? Tannehill has looked really good. If you look at his numbers over his last 3 or 4 games, he's got the Patriots this week. They just gave up 30 fantasy points to Jason Campbell. So this is a really good opportunity for Ryan Tannehill to make a fantasy impact during the postseason. You're seeing guys who are emerging as legitimate RB2s, like, for example, Ryan Matthews, who I've talked about in the past, and every time I promote him, he fails me. This year, I haven't talked about him, so I'm convinced that I am the curse for Ryan Matthews, so I will stay quiet on him, although you have to look at the numbers. And they've been very good. Shane Vereen's another guy. It doesn't even matter what the matchup is, Brad. Look at what he's doing. And now that Rob Gronkowski's out, this guy could catch 8 passes a game. Last week, he had double-digit catches. He is really like playing a wide receiver in your running back position. You've got a guy who is going to be targeted often from Tom Brady. And again, Gronkowski's absence is only going to increase his value. A player who, regardless of the matchup and clearly regardless of the quarterback who's playing in Cleveland, is Josh Gordon. This guy has been phenomenal. Did you know that he's averaging more fantasy points per game than Calvin Johnson? And he is right there with Calvin Johnson in terms of points, despite the fact that he's played one fewer game. Remember, Calvin was injured earlier this season. Josh Gordon missed the first couple of games because of a suspension. So that's another player that I really like. Alshon Jeffrey, same kind of thing. You are seeing an influx of these younger players, especially at the wide receiver position. Keenan Allen is another one. He's been very good the last couple of weeks. So you've got some young players who might not be, quote, big names, who are emerging into fantasy superstars right when fantasy owners need them the most.
Yeah, and I'll tell you from my experience, we're talking with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network, NFL.com, Fantasy Football Inside and Out, Michael Fabiano every week with Brad Sussmat. I'll give you one of my own personal situations. Andrew Luck has been very frustrating for me up until this last week when I got 40 points out of him, right? But I have Ryan Fitzpatrick as his backup. I'm now in a bye week. I'm in the semifinals next week. The week after that, I'm in the finals. I'm sitting in a great spot. But I've got Andrew Luck in the semifinals against the Chiefs outdoors at Kansas City. And I've got Ryan Fitzpatrick at Jacksonville. And that's not till next week, okay? But those are the type of matchups as you're going through your roster. I've got Vinatieri as my kicker, who's been terrific. But he's outdoors kicking a rock in 10 degrees maybe next week. So I'm thinking I got to pick up Phil Dawson this week. So that's where I'm at.
You certainly have to look ahead. There's no question about that. You have to have confidence in your team. You've always got to be looking at the matchups. Look what's going on with fantasy owners right now who have RG3. Robert Griffin III is going to be inactive this week, according to our Jeff Darlington here at NFL Media. So all of a sudden, you go from having a quarterback who you're likely starting most weeks to having to play the matchups. So this week, Ryan Tannehill. That makes a lot of sense. I'll be honest with you. I would feel comfortable starting Kirk Cousins if I was really in a bind at quarterback. The Atlanta Falcons have not been good against the pass this year. So you certainly have to look ahead. Looking ahead to Week 16, you're looking at a guy like Andy Dalton. Inconsistent, had a big week last week, but he's been really inconsistent, hard to trust. He's got the Steelers this week on the road. But in Week 16, he's playing against the Minnesota Vikings. You don't get a better matchup than that if you're a quarterback for the most part. So these are things you need to look ahead to. Streaming defenses, if you stream kickers, as you just mentioned, those are some of the things you need to look at. Dennis Pitta, another example.
He was great.
He had a great game last week. This is a guy who helped the Ravens win the Super Bowl last season. And now you're looking at a player who is available in most leagues on NFL.com who can step in and be a top 10 player at his position. That doesn't happen in Week 15. Dennis Pitt is a guy who, if you have Rob Gronkowski, now you have to drop him, unfortunately. Pitt is a guy that you can pick up and play. He's not Gronk, but I can tell you one thing. He's probably better than most of the other alternatives on the waiver wire at the tight end position. So you've always got to be looking at this. I can tell you something right now. Unless you drafted the best team and you had, say, Sean Marino late, for example, or you were able to draft a Peyton Manning, you took a Calvin Johnson in the late first round, and then you ended up with a Zach Stacy. There was a lot of players that came off the waiver wire and have played very well. Nick Foles, another example. Your team looks a lot different than it did back in week one. And it should, because you always have to keep tabs on what's going on with player movement, injuries, depth chart changes, and a guy like Dennis Pitta, a guy like Nick Foles, a player like Josh Gordon, those are all examples of how things can change and sort of evolve during the course of the football season.
So before I let you go, and two quick questions. It is a must, then, to pick up Kirk Cousins in your mind this week.
Is it a must? No. It depends on really what your need is. I'd rather play Ryan Tannehill this week. I really like the matchup against New England. Again, they have not been good against the pass this season. But if you're in a bind, I would not be surprised if Kirk Cousins puts up numbers that are somewhere in the 18-point range against the Atlanta Falcons. He's come in and played well in the past. So you also have to consider, too, Brad, that this has been a year where these, quote, no-name quarterbacks or young quarterbacks have played pretty well. Look at Foles. Look at Case Keenum for a few weeks. He played pretty well. Mike McGloin's had a couple of pretty good stat lines. You can be a young quarterback in the National Football League these days and put up some pretty good numbers when the matchup is right. It's not all about Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers when he's healthy. It's great to have those guys. There's no doubt about that. But if you lose a quarterback, it's probably the easiest position to replace because of the depth. And there are guys on the waiver wire right now who have scored 25, 30 points over the last couple of weeks in games, like a Jason Campbell. Josh McCown, look at him. He had 5 touchdowns on Monday night, a phenomenal game. Josh McCown wasn't even on the radar in fantasy leagues back in August and September. So there are options out there. Again, Cousins, I like the matchup. There are other players that I prefer ahead of him. But if you're really in need, I wouldn't feel completely helpless with Kirk Cousins starting at the quarterback position. I think it's a decent move if you need help at that spot.
Before I let you go, Ralph asks Charles Clay or Brandon LaFell.
LaFell's got a good matchup this week. LaFell has got a really good matchup this week against the Jets. I'm going to go with LaFell. Clay's been good. There's no question about it. I prefer the wide receiver over the tight end here. I think LaFell's a pretty good sleeper.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always, Michael. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, Fantasy Football Insider. Always good to catch up with Michael Fabiano. Brad Susmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. Check out our content. All that with Michael. If you missed any of it, you can find on our podcast every day, Sports360AZ.com. We're on Twitter, at Brad Susmat, on White Mountain Radio. Great to be on White Mountain Radio. Thanks again to Michael Fabiano, also Kurt Warner with Brad Susmat today. It is a good Wednesday. I am getting run over by the Diamondback fans on this Trumbo deal. And guys, understand that it's just what I am seeing here. I'm not paid for pom-poms, all right? When things go well, through 20 years, I've said things have gone well. When people need to be beat up, and you need to take a sledgehammer to something rather than a fly swatter, I do that too. And today, it's one of those days. I cannot love the Mark Trumbo trade. I can't sit here and say, boy, the Diamondbacks hit one out of the park, for lack of a better term. I know you'd like for me to say that. I know you'd like for me to say, I know for sure that Mark Trumbo is going to hit 285. And he's going to have a better on-base percentage than 30%, and he's going to hit better than 234. I know some of you get all caught up in the number of home runs. Well, we'll take the strikeouts because he's such a threat at the plate. I heard that during Mark Reynolds' era, and I heard that during Richie Sexton's era, and it doesn't work. I like how open Kevin Towers is on this, admitting openly. Trumbo's probably not going to get many opportunities at first base, you think? Paul Goldschmidt's over there. Also admitted he's got to work on his defense. Yeah. So this is not a sure deal.
And what was the reason they traded Justin Upton again? I'm still trying to figure that out.
Oh, come on. Seriously, are you going to go back to Upton?
No, I'm just saying, Brad. Just think about it. I mean, would you rather have...
I'm
Justin
glad Justin's...
Would you I'd rather have
Martin
Justin...
Prado. I'd rather have Martin Prado than Justin Upton. I'm fine with that deal. You're not...
You know,
you're in the past.
They had a power hitting corner outfielder. They had one with a much higher upside than the one they have now.
Upside, upside, upside. I've heard upside. I can't keep hearing upside. And on top of that, my understanding was the clubhouse was not good.
And that is so important in baseball.
It is.
It is. Because guess what? You are around your teammates a lot.
Do you know why Trevor Bauer didn't last more than a nanosecond here?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, so there's part of that. I don't know if Trumbo's a good clubhouse guy. I don't know.
I'm assuming he is, simply because I haven't heard otherwise. Usually when they aren't, you like Trevor Bauer, you tend to hear these things.
Yeah, very soon. And, you know, in the Angels' case, they've got to pay this kid named Mike Trout, who's not half bad. He can kind of play.
Yeah, Diamondback should have tried to get Mike Trout.
And they kind of have this guy
named... Hello, are you
named...
there? Jerry?
Yeah, right,
Jerry,
right.
It's Kevin.
Click.
Hello, and Mr. DePoto?
They have this guy named Pujols, who they have... like a nation's worth of money tied up in. So maybe you do get, you know, you do get somebody in Trumbo that you look at and say, wow, what a great deal for the Diamondbacks. But there are certainly holes in this. And anybody who tries to tell you, oh, yeah, we got this one figured out, come on. I would expect them to be forthcoming. And the deal on Tyler Skaggs is it's the same as Trevor Bauer. 2 years ago, we got Trevor Bauer, we got Tyler Skaggs, we have Jared Parker, we have all these great young arms. Okay, well, for the second time in 2 years, the really good arm is dealt.
As is other young pieces, Brad. Like last year, everybody was all about Adam Eaton. Bye. Last year, everybody was all about Didi Gregorius, and now look at the names you're starting to hear at the winter meetings.
Yeah,
the guys
Yankees
the Diamondbacks could be dealing. Like, it wasn't long ago that these guys were the end-all of end-alls.
No, you're right. You're right. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you, and I mean it's all about you. The good people at Santan Ford, they've been with us since day number one. We've been with them since day number one. It's a true partnership, a true working relationship. I'll give you an example. About 3 weeks ago, I get a call from a big charity here in town who fell flat on their face around an event that they had. So what do? I pick up the phone, call General Manager Tim Hovick and say, hey, there's this event. And he's like, just send me the information. Done. Taken care of. Rockstar steps in, hits it out of the park. It's about selling cars. Sure, we get that. But it's more than that with the people at Santan Ford. It's about community, community, community. And when you hear of times where people are in need or there's tough stuff that's going on and a dealership can step forward and help out in their way, that makes a big difference too. Trust me on this, 20 years being in the Valley, the people at Santan Ford, they can take care of you. The holidays right around the corner, you don't have that car that you want, you don't have that truck that you want, you've saved up your money, you're looking to make the payment, maybe it's time to trade in that vehicle so you can have that truck to take you up to the White Mountains, up to Sunrise, or wherever we're going around the great state, or over to San Diego for the Holiday Bowl. I think about Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Go to santanford.com. Santan Ford. Again, it's all about you. The Texas Longhorn head football coaching position is one of the most cherished spots, I'd say, in all of sports. When Roy Williams took over for Dean Smith down at North Carolina, that was one of those big time, oh my gosh, who's going to take over? He led the way. When Mike Krzyzewski decides to retire, the same sort of thing is going to happen. The person who takes over for the University of Texas football team, it's unlike any of the other jobs that are out there, say perhaps, who followed Joe Paterno and the way that things fell apart at Penn State, or Michigan football and trying to follow Bo Schembechler, or Ohio State, these legendary programs. Texas is going to come open. There's no way that there's this many media outlets down in Austin that are saying that Mack Brown is going to retire, meaning Steve Patterson said, you're done. It's time to move forward. That there's not going to be something that takes place there. And I bring it back here to Arizona because the Todd Graham story, again yesterday, as this started to percolate and circulate, there were people on campus that said, yeah, we've heard Todd's name. I also get it shot down immediately that there's nothing going on there because there's this agreement. I don't care what the agreement says. I know that Steve Patterson is one of these guys that is relentless and ruthless, and he is not going to sit around and say, I'm just not going to go after this guy. I'm not saying he's their number one choice, but I think anybody would be naive to not believe that Steve Patterson didn't have in his drawer a list of 10 names and that Todd Graham wasn't on that list somewhere. Could be number one, could be number 10. But somewhere on that list, Todd Graham would have to be. I think the interesting name that has popped up yesterday afternoon and today is Jim Mora Jr. Jim Mora Jr. at UCLA. Oh, well, he agreed to a contract. Yeah, has he signed the contract? We don't know that.
And it doesn't matter what the buyout is when you're dealing with the University of Texas.
No. Well, it's like Art Briles, Eric. So Art Briles agreed to a contract, but guess what? The Regents haven't voted it through yet. Mm-hmm. It's coming up this weekend or early next week. So guess what? There's a window. Could the window, if you are Mack Brown and you're pushed out the door and you say, I'm done, how quickly does Steve Patterson move on some of these guys that have agreed to contracts, have they signed the contract?
And he has to be careful because this is the University of Texas, and everyone loves the hot coach, and everyone loves right now Art Briles, but 2 years ago, nobody knew who Art Briles was. Well, and after a couple down years at Baylor, maybe not going to happen. You just have to be careful because it is such a high-profile job at Texas.
But see, Art Briles isn't good enough. Art Briles isn't good enough. The name that is good enough is Nick Saban.
Of course.
And of course, if Nick Saban beats Auburn 2 weeks ago, is there any conversation at all about Nick Saban?
No, probably not.
No. So what's gone on here? Well, what's gone on is he's gotten crushed by some of these Alabama nitwits who just haven't been able to accept the fact that occasionally you lose a game. And yeah, he made some coaching errors. He did. There's no question. Is the run coming to the end for Nick Saban? Is he one of those guys? There's reports out there that Nick Saban has a contract sitting on his desk that he has not signed as of yet. That his agent, Jimmy Sexton, is one that smells blood down at Alabama. You know, where's Todd Graham fit in all of this? Is Todd Graham sitting over there at ASU where the Regents are more of a hindrance than a help, in my opinion? It's one-year contracts. Sometimes it's six-month contracts for assistant coaches. How are you going to keep good assistant coaches if that's what the working conditions are like?
And you have to guess he's going to lose his offensive coordinator relatively soon. Norvell's going to get another job.
No, he
somewhere.
Should go now. I think
so, too.
I think Norvell should go now. And it's not that – look, he's worked with Gus Malzahn at Auburn, and now he's worked with Todd Graham. His stock is never going to be higher. Look at what he's done with Taylor Kelly, the offensive output that they've done this season. It's the time for him to go. When I heard Dirk Cutter's name yesterday at Boise, you know, that's fine. That makes a lot of sense.
Why would Dirk want to do that? Like, he doesn't like college. He doesn't like the recruiting. He doesn't like dealing with the media.
But
you know
maybe
what he
things
wants
have
to
changed.
Do? He wants to drop plays, and that's why he's a great coordinator in the NFL.
But the life of an NFL guy, do you have a life?
And in Atlanta, where they could clean house at the end of this year, Mike Smith could be gone for all we know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think that one's pretty quick because where they were last year.
I agree, but they've fallen fast.
No, and somebody needs to fall on that one. I think on that one, Eric, to me, Mike Norvell, if you look around some of these mid-level, mid-major programs, I'll give you an example. And time is short here, but Boise, I think, is a perfect example. A program like San Diego State over on the West Coast. Go somewhere out west where you've already established, if the Fresno State job were to become open, go somewhere where you bring in your mark. I don't think Mike Norvell's ready. When I've interviewed Mike Norvell, Mike Norvell needs work.
Yeah.
I can't see Mike Norvell standing in front of boosters yet. I can't see Mike Norvell selling to boosters.
He can't go into a frying pan job where the heat is turned up.
I mean, do you agree with that? He's not terrible, but you...
I even think San Diego State's too much of a reach.
When you deal with him, he is not the gregarious outgoing. He hasn't figured that part of it out
yet. He's not
yet.
The politician like most
Paul Randolph, I think, can go sell a lot of places.
Yep.
But I don't know if Paul Randolph can run a program top to bottom. That's not a criticism. That's just a fact with these guys. Nowadays, it's a big part of it. Maybe 50% of it is how do they come across to Big Cigar alum? How do they come across to media so media embraces them? And when times do go bad, the media is not there just crushing them because the guy didn't know how to work through it. It's a lot of stuff out there, and a lot of it's right here in Arizona. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric every day. And our website, sports360az.com. A lot of content there for you to check out. And we're on Twitter as well, @BradSusMatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Love having you a part of us, too, on White Mountain Radio, the great people on White Mountain Radio.